Yes, there is mic now. Can you all guys hear me? Just want to test if it's working. Yes, great. Hi, Cheryl. Hello, room. Better. Very good. Very good. Very good. It's good to see you all. It's not night in Paris. It is very early morning in Perth, Australia. So I just wanted to let you know that I guess you're listening. I will ask you to make a recording of this, Dov, if you can hear me or anyone. Yes, I'm in Perth. Very good, very good. I'm recording this as well. So, but just in case, you know, we take the habit of having two recordings. I know I'm subbing for Regina tonight. She asked me to do the continuation, the follow up on the messages we received together, which is what we will be doing. I see that, I see that Cheryl is here. I see that. It's been a long time since I haven't been here. Very long time. It's been a few months, a couple of months I've been away from ACM Gather. Traveling a lot and, in that part of the world, in that part of the Pacific Ocean. Anyway, it's very good to be back. Thank you, my sweet. Thank you very much. I'm recording as well, so it should be fine, but you never know. Let me get a little glass of water. And, okay, I gave you a link, which I'm going to give you another time. Once again, here we go. That's the link to my website, actually, and that's the link to a page where Regina left it off last time in one of those wonderful messages that we received, all of them to be published one of these days. The last message, which she didn't really finish, is a message called The Fear of Non-Existing. Okay, The Fear of Non-Existing. Regina told me that she shared already the whole message, except the last question. So we're going to take it from there, from the last question, and then, which is a question that has to do with relationship, and in particular the relationship with the two of us, with Regina and I. When I was physically in North Carolina, when Regina was living in North Carolina at the time. And if I remember well, at the time, the relationship was difficult. There were a lot of hatred and a lot of fear coming up. We were both, of course, aware of the power of projection, which makes perception. And we were perceiving in the eyes of others judgment, fear, rejection, hatred. This was a big thing at the time, from what I remember. And obviously, the Holy Spirit is talking here about the fear of non-existing. And he tells us in this message, in the words before the last question, he tells us that this fear of non-existing, which is a current fear in the moment now, when it is felt, is driving much more of our experience than we're aware of. This fear of non-existing. But seen another way, I heard Cheryl talk about the two desires right before I took the mic. The fear of non-existing that drives a lot of perceptions, of course, could be also called the wanting to stay alive as a separate self. Okay, let me repeat this. The fear of non-existing that drives most of the projections. Okay, hate, fear, anxiety, sadness, feeling alone, feeling abandoned. Okay, etc., 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 etc. You know, all the things of the ego. It's the same as saying the desire not to know thyself. Remember, all these teachings are about the desire to know thyself. Facing the desire not to know thyself, or to use the Holy Spirit's words in these messages, or the desire to know myself as that which I am not. Which is what? A body, a person, a separate self. So again, these two desires are very central to this teaching. And again, it's important to see that what drives most of our experience is the desire to remain a separate entity, a separate self. And how will that come about? It will come about through the experience of duality, and it will come about through projection of what I don't want to face. And what don't I want to face when I take myself for a separate self? Non-existence. It's very simple. There is no separate self. And somewhere inside we know this, but we don't want to see it. The Course in Miracles calls this the holy trinity of the ego, which is sin, guilt, and fear. And he said that those three emotions we don't want to face. What we really don't want to face is our mere non-existence as separate selves. And our existence as pure existence itself. So, that said, why don't we say a prayer, just like Regina does, and start this this hour with this prayer, and then we'll see where we take it from here. Okay? I invite you all in the heart of one, in the heart that realizes our true and real identity as existence itself, or as experiencing itself. Not many words, Holy Spirit, are coming. Just a deep, relaxing silence into the depth of me, which is the depth of us. I'm expressing to you my depth, my gratitude. From the surface, I would say. From the surface thinking. From the surface experiencing. I see that every single experience works perfectly for the purpose that has been chosen. And if it is the purpose to know thyself, every experience works perfectly for this purpose. By the same token, if the desire is to know myself as a separate self, then every experience will work for this too. Said another way, the universe will show me what I asked to see. But Holy Spirit, I realize more and more that there is no separate self. That there is not a me even to desire something. There's not even a me to project anything. There are no selves anywhere to be found. But just this, the current moment, the current experience, the current experiencing, which can be called life or pure existence. With that knowledge in mind, with that realization in mind, with that realization dwelling more and more, closer and closer to the surface experience, let me give you the following hour, the following message. And I ask you to tell us what it is the most important for us to see and to realize within these words. Actually, behind and below these words, where truth really lies. So let this be an ode to our true nature, to our real nature, being or existence or awareness, whatever works, God, the truth of us. Let us be guided. Let these words be guided, filled, bathed in this light, so that they are full power when they are being spoken and when they are being received. The mind that speaks them is the mind that receives them. No separation. Amen. Okay, here's the link again to that message. That is called the fear of non-existing. Let me bring it up in my computer as well. Very good. You know what I want to do? I want to quickly read the last paragraph. So if you scroll down on that message, the last paragraph that starts with the word the formless, and then we'll go into that last question, and I guess we will go to the next one, which is called the depth of you. So just as a refreshment, the formless cannot be described, but it can be known. It cannot be brought back into form, but it can be expressed. The real value in touching the formless is not sharing it. That is, the value is not sharing it at the level of form. The real value is knowing it. When you know the formless that you are, you can no longer be shaken by changing form. You cannot be bothered by that which you are not. You can experience the untrue, and you can move in it as an expression of truth, but none of that takes away from or adds to what you are. When what you are is known, nothing else truly matters. And when what you are is known, you live in the world as an expression of light, which is communication of an idea of formless within form. I want to say here that formless is what I called in the prayer existence, life, or beingness. And I talk about existence because this message talks about the fear of non-existing. So we as separate entities do not exist. We are a concept. Now, we as existence are the already awakened Son of God, just like the Course in Miracles talks about it. The one Son, because there's only one existence. There's only one life living. And you can trace it to our everyday experience. See if there is someone experiencing that experience. Is there someone speaking? Is there someone listening to these words? When we explore, we find no one. Why? Because there are no one. There's just this experience, just this experiencing. Said another way, just existence, or just life living. Through this sound, through this speaking of this sound, and through the hearing or the listening of these words. This is life experiencing itself. What here the Holy Spirit calls the formless, our true nature, that which we are. You know, I want to share something. There's been a lot of confusion with even saying, I mean, that which I am is okay, but I am the formless. I mean, it seems very real, right? I mean, it seems to point, I mean, these are words, but it seems to point to a truth. For me, it was confusing because there was still the idea of a me, Laurent, separate self, having to become the formless, having to let go, having to surrender in order to become, or in order to see that which I am. The one who needs to let go, surrender, desire, is a non-existing concept. It's fleeting, it comes and goes, it is the separate self. The self that we are it now. So I'd like to call it existence. The existence that we are. But instead of saying that we are, I'd rather say the existence that is. The life that is. Call it the present moment or the now. The now that is. The beingness that is. The present awareness, which is that formless that cannot be described, but that can be known, as the Holy Spirit says. So, when what you are is known, nothing else truly matters. And when what you are is known, you live in the world as an expression of light, which is communication of an idea of formless or existence within form. This communication cannot give the experience of know thyself, but it lives the experience of know thyself, so that the possibility of know thyself is known, even within the expression of form. What does this mean? It means that when one of us awakens to the non-existence of his separate self, his or her separate self, but to the ever-present existence of existence or life, that seeming person who realizes that he is not a person and has never been a person, which is what we might call an awakened person, or someone who has realized the self, to use Ramana Maharshi's words, cannot give the experience of the awakened awareness, of the already awakened existence to anyone. But it can shine, it can be a light. And the light is one who has realized the self, who has realized that there's only self. And there's only light. That there are no separate selves. And such a presence in the dream of form and separate selves within forms and independent wills, right? Such a presence that knows exactly that there are no independent wills, that there are no choice, that there are no choosers, that there is nothing but existence, is a wonderful sign, a beacon of light for all the others, seeming separate selves, who will see that and will want even more to look within and say, hey, what is this peace? When one will talk with these seeming persons, these seeming persons will say, will express somehow through their mechanisms, through their conditioning, the same message, the message that there are no selves, the message that there is only this. And all these messages will talk about, will come from the same source and will talk about the same thing, awakened from the dream, through the different angles, which are the different conditionings. I'm speaking through the conditioning of Laurent. David Hofmeister speaks to the conditioning of David Hofmeister. Dove, and all of us, actually. But when the mind is still caught up in the idea that I am a separate self, separate from you, I will fear non-existing. And the presence of one who has fully realized the already ever awakened self or life will not give me the experience of know thyself, but will increase somehow the envy, the desire to turn within and to realize self. Okay, the willingness. This wakes up the mind to itself by shining into where mind is looking, even though mind can never truly find itself there. Now, let's keep that in mind and let's attack the last question of the message. Is there anything you would like to share with me and Laurent to help us with our we-ness? I remember asking this question. To help us with our we-ness, because our we-ness at the time was quite fragile. Fragile in form, right? Fragile in form. We didn't know if we were to stay together with Regina. I didn't know if I was about to leave from North Carolina. It was very, very difficult times. And yet, the one thing that brought the two of us together was true desire, or willingness to know thyself. That was the one match. Not a lot of things were matching in that relationship with Regina, except this, except that beacon of light within our hearts. Know thyself. That was the thing that was much more important for me and taken into consideration when letting go of my apartment, letting go of Paris, going into the unknown without money. But yet, that inner beacon was saying, go, 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 go. So I went. And it was not easy. At the time, it was not easy at all, I remember. There have been some worse times, like a month before this message, or 2 months before this message. It was very difficult. Still always projection, fears. And what is the fear? Fear of non-existing. Meaning, when two separate selves meet, with the desire of know thyself, what does it mean? It means that the two of them meet from their depth to let go of the surface. And what it is to let go of the surface? Is to die, actually. Is to die both our separate selves into true desire, into the fire of oneness. These are words we're talking about. But these transcending, these fire, this dying, this burning, what is it? It's just a letting go of the belief that, a belief in separate selves. A belief that there's a Regina and that there's a Laurent, separate from each other. So the bonding never really happens on the surfacey level. And that's not just for Regina and Laurent or any awakened people or it's for everybody. We are not in touch. We make ourselves believe that we're in touch at the surface with a separate self, with another, right? With one and another. But that's not what's happening. We are always in contact with what we are, which is existence. And on top of that, some ideas in the mind, ideas of separation. We know that the world is an outside picture of an inward condition, meaning what we perceive is what we believe. If I believe in separate self, I will perceive the world as separate from me, and I will perceive in it many separate selves, including me. Once this idea is gone, what shines is the light of only this. Pure experiencing happening right now, always fresh, happening to no one, happening for no one, for nobody, because there are no selves to be found. And that is, today, the light of true desire or true purpose, because this is now the answer of the Holy Spirit. Remembering the purpose of your being together is, above all else, important to the strength of we. You will experience resistance together as long as there remains some resistance in the mind. But when you remember your purpose, the resistance will be experienced together. Remember that it is your oneness that rises to transcend all fears. Do not let your resistance take you to a place of apart. In apart, you live within your fears. In oneness and partnership, you transcend them. some important sentences here. You will experience resistance together as long as there remains some resistance in the mind. What does it mean? It means that the mind, seemingly individual mind, but as we know through those wonderful teachings, there's only one mind, is being cleansed of all ideas that are false, of all ideas that represent duality, falseness, separate selves. For that, no more belief in separate self can remain, and just the light of existence can only be, can only shine through this cleansed lens. Okay? That's the purpose. But as long as there are ideas, what is resistance? Ideas of separation. Ideas holding on to I'm independent. I'm choosing. I'm in charge of my life. Or, said another way, in the Course in Miracles words, if the tiny mad idea is still running the program, what is the tiny mad idea? It's the desire to have things different than they are. It is a desire. It is actually fueled by desire. But that's just a concept. Things can be different than they are. Why is this idea mad? Because it's absolutely impossible. How can the fear that is experienced now, how can the doubt that I'm experiencing now, be any other way? But the thinking that it could be different gives rise to seeking for a solution and gives rise to a seeker, gives rise or consolidates the experience of separate self, seeking to have a better experience. And as long as there remains some resistance in the mind, you will experience resistance. What does this mean? It means that there's nothing you can do about the experiences that come up. That's such an important message. As long as these ideas are present, they will manifest. They will come up as feelings, projections, desires. What I've been guided to look more and more closely in the reality of experience is that all these feelings, reactions, desires, etc., happen to no one. Meaning there is not a me experiencing this. There is experiencing of that. And that is a great door, that is a great key to see that no one experiences this. When there is fear of the other, there is not one in here, in this body as Laurent, fearing the seeming other, Regina. And vice versa, there is no one in Regina's body. That judges me, for example. You see? It's just a way of looking close at experience and stripping the experience from the idea of separate selves. Experience remains, fear remains, judgment remains, but they're not going to remain for a very long time because they don't have a cause anymore. When you take off the cause, the effect shall vanish. And the effect vanish quicker That is, they don't stay as long when you see inside of them, when you see really inside of the fear, inside of the feeling, inside of the judgment, inside of the perception, and you see that there is nothing like a separate self anywhere. There's no one there and there's no one here. That's very, 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 very helpful. But as long as there are ideas of resistance, we will experience resistance. How will we experience it? That is more of the question. In this particular case, the Regine and Laurent case, meaning the case of two bonding together, two joining together in the purpose of awakening, that is one path. A powerful one. That is the Course in Miracles path, by the way. Relationship. What is the key? The remembrance of the purpose together. When we remember our purpose, why I came to join with Regina, why Regina accepted, why Regina came to join with me. Because we followed inner guidance, meaning we followed the true desire to know thyself as that which we are. And that will definitely bring up to the surface the other desire, the desire to know thyself, to know ourselves as that which we are not, a Regina and a Laurent. Two separate selves. So that mechanism will definitely rise up to the surface to be seen by the other desire. Now, a desire cannot really see anything, right? A concept cannot really see anything. These are words pointing. One is pointing to pure seeing, which is another term for existence or life, or oneness, because that oneness is aware. That awareness, that oneness is, and in this isness or beingness, it is aware and existing. And that is the strength. That is the non-judgmental looking. That is the pure perception Jesus is talking about in the Course. So the false ideas rise thanks to this relationship, so that nothing has been hidden. At some point, it cannot be hidden anymore because the true desires are very present. And in a relationship, you're in the face of two-ness, oneness. I mean, the resistance rises up to be seen because that's the only way it can happen. You remember that we are all very fearful of intimacy. Why? Because in intimacy, there's death. Better said, in intimacy, there is not existing of me and you in pure intimacy. This is why we fear pure intimacy. This is why we fear getting too close from someone. This is why we fear love. We can understand why we fear it, because in intimacy, I disappear. And the other one disappears too. It's the death of separate selves. And with it, the death of time, the death of space. When two join together from a close bent on true desire, what happens is the collapsing of the world and the collapsing of separate selves. That happened in that joining. When two or more join in thy name, in the name of the Father, in the name of true desire, in the name of truth, in the name of existence, in the name of experiencing, with no one experiencing, well, no one is seen as a truth. There is no one. That's why we are fearful of joining with a prayer, of really joining. That's why the Course says there is no love in this world. There can only be hate. Actually, there can only be ups and downs. But underneath, see the hate. See the you there and me here. I will never really love you because there's an I trying to love you. It's an impossibility. Love is the absence of me and you. Love is. So how am I going to realize love? By dying. By dying what? by dying the false concepts, which creates false perception, which creates false energy, which is what the Holy Spirit is calling the experience of untrue. Hello, sweetie. So when two join together, they join together in the purpose of know thyself, meaning they join together in order to realize that there is nothing like togetherness. There's nothing like together. In order to be together, there must be one joining the other. But that's not true. And the purpose of a holy relationship is this one. It's the purpose of awakening. Awakening to what is. So tell me, in the light of what we just seen, who is going to awaken? Is there anyone present to awaken to his true nature? Or is awakening the realization that there is no me and no you and there's never been any? Just assumptions, unchecked ideas, unchecked thoughts, which become belief because they are unchecked. Unverified from a close. Again, verify if there is someone listening to these words right now. Do you find anyone? What is it made of? What is a someone made of? And see that it's just an assumption. There's no one listening. And there's no one speaking. And it's not a grand thing. It's a grand thing to the ego. It's a grand thing to the experience of separation. But it is just life living as it is. What else can you say but experience is happening? As soon as you say, I experience, you're into a wonderland. There is no I to be found, except as concepts. Okay. So, remember that it is your oneness that rises to transcend all fears. Do not let resistance take you to a place of apart. In apart, you live within your fears. In oneness and partnership, you transcend them. So what does it say? It says that there are ideas in the mind which create a lot of fear and hatred and resistance, and they must be seen. Why? Because they are not true. But as long as I don't see them, I don't experience them. I keep the tiny mad idea running in my mind as a question that I'm asking and an answer that is continuously being given to me. Can things be different than they are? Yes, they can, as long as I just look at the fact that they cannot. But for that, I need to look. What do I need in order to look? Desire to look, meaning desire to let go. This is a way of doing it. Let go of believing that I'm a separate soul. And when we stay apart in a relationship, like let's say there was a lot of this with Regina. Like, let me stay apart. Like, let me have a little space. You know, and this thing seems to be very authentic and even guided to have space. I'm not saying it's not guided to have space. But be always aware of the fact that I want space because I'm not comfortable in intimacy. And why am I not comfortable in intimacy? The ego is not comfortable because he's dying in true intimacy. So even see that within the experience of intimacy, even making love, there's always this little idea that I'm making love to you, I love you, you love me, you making love to me. This is if things go well. Even when things go well, be aware of the thoughts of apart. In apart, you live within your fears. In oneness and partnership, you transcend them. Holding hands is a strong symbol and very useful to the mind. Because even in your resistance, I see that people arrive in the room. I'm going to give the link to this message. To the one that just came, we are reading from this page, from this message called The Fear of Non-Existence. And we are at the last paragraph of the message. So here the Holy Spirit talks about holding hands. What happened with Regina is that going through all these fears, going through all these hatred, through all those difficult experiences, going through the wanting to be apart, even in the experience of being together, okay, the mind is tricky. Well, there was this one symbol, which was holding hand. And it is a very strong symbol. We were, let me tell you, we were going through hate. My mind was was hating Regina. And still, there was a desire to hold hand with her. Hold hands with her. That was for me like the most powerful thing in this relationship. Because it was getting very difficult at times. And in those moments of difficulty, there was a desire to hold hands. Look at what Holy Spirit says about this symbol. Holding hands is a strong symbol and very useful to the mind. Because even in your resistance, you know that you can hold hands. And you also realize that in holding hands, you know that current resistance, even if that resistance is experienced as fear or hatred, current resistance is being transcended because you have decided to hold hands. Okay? So what does it say? It says that it's a decision. It's a decision to hold hands. Okay, that's because this relationship has this purpose. This was like the way somehow, this joining in purpose together. But what does it mean to hold hands? It means to look at the idea of two-ness, of separateness, and say, and be willing to see that it's not true. A little willingness, right? Be willing to see that it's not true. The willingness had for result in form the holding my hand to Regina's. That holding hand is a symbol of, although I believe that I'm a separate self, that there's a me here and a you there, Regina, my wanting to hold hands with you is coming from my depth, is coming from truth, from pure existence, pure awareness that says, I'm willing to see that it's not true. We are not two. We are not apart because we cannot be apart. There is no cause, but a fleeting concept. It's that whole experience of being apart. And right now, while I'm holding hands with you, I'm so much desiring to see the truth above all else. That's the power of what the Course calls a holy relationship, which happens in, let's not make it a concept, because it's a moment-to-moment thing, just like life is a moment-to-moment with no past and no future. In the moment where holding hands happens, you can be sure that in the face of hatred, you can be sure that true desire is running the show. You can be sure that true purpose is being remembered. You can be sure that healing happens. You can be sure that the light of truth shines on the ideas of untrue, which is the idea of a me in relationship with the idea of a you. And the relationship itself is also an idea. There is no relationship. So again, we go a little deeper now. The purpose of a holy relationship is to let go of the idea of relationship. There are no relationship. How could there be if there is no separate selves? That's why, again, it's very mystical if you will. But when I join with you, my purpose is to die. If I believe that I'm joining with you, many angles, all pointing to the same thing, the same reality, which we will call existence. But not I exist, or better said, well, this is a way of saying it. But there's not a me who's existing. Me doesn't exist. There is pure existence existing right now. In that right now-ness, how can there be any stories? And how can there be anyone experiencing it? And this clarity is a result of exploration, of intellectual understanding, giving rise to the willingness to explore and verify if there is or if there isn't anyone here, to have a relationship with another one there. Are there people existing in bodies? Are there entities there? Or are they just fleeting concepts? The last words of the message. Go now and love one another as I am loving you. In loving one another with my love, you truly choose to love thyself. In the light of what we've just seen, you understand what it means. Love one another as I am loving you. Who is speaking? Who's the Holy Spirit? But our one voice, the voice of existence, as it is. Not as we would like it to be, but just as it is. So what does it mean, go love one another as I am loving you? Go see that there is no other to love. Go also see that you are not separate from love, because you can love. Love is an inner experience, never outer. So love is present. But see that in the loving, there is no you loving another. But it might start with this. This is our preferred experience in the world, to love one another. When we really love one another, there's no more time. There's no more life. There's no more death. There's no concept. There is no me and there's no you. As soon as I say, I love you, it's a way of speaking. But if I believe that way of speaking as truth, the experience of love is being cut. Because love is the absence of two-ness. Love is the absence of one another. Love is what is. So the way I've looked at it, I see what is as both static and dynamic. Static in the sense that awareness doesn't move, existence doesn't move, totality doesn't move. It's what is. And within what is, force in action, power in action, or you would say dynamic force in action. And I love to call that, which is just me speaking, love as being dynamic as well. Could actually be said as being that force of remembrance. What is a force of remembrance? A force of healing, a force of seeing through the ideas that are not real, the idea of a you and a me. So in loving one another with my love, you truly choose to love thyself. Love thyself is know thyself. Because love, loving, knowing, being, existing, are all the same thing. While we are on this site, and I know that next week I will continue to sub for Regina. That is the Sunday the 18th. So we can start a message, the next message. So if you want to scroll up the page and click on the link that is called The Depth of You, funny because we mentioned this many, many times. Click on The Depth of You, as I'm doing the same thing right now. And that is the next message that we're going to be looking at. And we could start to look at it today. Let me give again the link. Paste. Here we go. Now this message now is called The Depth of You. We will start now. We have, what, another 10 minutes left. And we will resume that next week. Next week I will not be in Australia, Perth. I will be in Paris, France. Finally, after 3 months. Hi, Dove. 3 months of being apart. Ah! From my home, okay? The depth of you is the following message from what I remember. This is still during these experiences of fear and hatred. And it starts with Regina sharing her experience, telling about her feelings to the Holy Spirit. And it's wonderful to see how it works. Question. For us, what would you share this morning? Be very specific, please. When Regina says, be very specific. It means that she's going under, at that moment, and I can see that on the tone of voice, it means that she was going under, waves of difficulties. Tell me how you feel, the Holy Spirit says. Okay. Here's what Regina says. I feel like I can't be myself because the world makes too many demands on me. I want to quit, run away, be alone, and be happy. I feel like ego is all that I can hear. It is very strong. And since I know this isn't really me, I also feel lost. I want me back. I feel like me when I live in perfect trust with a clear mind and my heart is open. Right now, that isn't my experience. So I'm sad, scared, and angry. I lash out in hate. I feel in prison. I also just had that wonderful deja vu experience, which seems to tell me everything is going to be okay because I'm right on track now. What would you share? Please help me. By the way, I realize that the cry for help is not helpful. I can feel it. So I place the cry for help aside, realizing that the answers come from me, which means I do not need help. I am help. I am the one who comforts me. What would you share? Okay, this is the sharing of Regina. And what the Spirit says is wonderful. I was about to say that this is like a very powerful practice to just write down or share, but just write down what you feel. In writing down what one feels, a lot of things happen. First of all, you don't keep them as running in the mental, in the brain, in the mental circle, circus. Sorry, it goes round and round and round. You take at least one of those shooting ideas and put them on paper, and then another one. What happens when you do that? You become aware of them. You exteriorize them. They stop to run you. As soon as you see something, as you see an idea, it stops to run you. Because it gives the message, even if the fear is still running, it gives the message that, well, if I'm aware of this idea, I cannot be this idea. Right? I've already taken another stance. I've taken the stance of observing. And the stance of observing is a step closer, let's say, to know thyself, right? Is a step closer to pure awareness. Again, an idea or a separate self cannot see nothing, cannot see anything, because there are concepts. But let me read the answer of the Holy Spirit. Grounding yourself is important, and this is what you did by sharing how you feel. You see, just sharing it, writing it, is grounding yourself. When you share how you feel with yourself, your self answers with what is true and what is not true. Somewhere within you, more as a feeling or an intuition than as words, you hear that how you feel is not how you really feel. I'm going to repeat that. Somewhere within you, more as an intuition or a feeling, you hear or you know that how you feel is not how you really feel. Something within you knows that the surface feelings, the surface fears and judgments are not your truth. And so it tells you this isn't real. You find yourself writing how you feel while also realizing from some faraway point of recognition that this isn't true. And that's the purpose of writing it down. First, you disengage emotionally from what's happening. Then you see what's happening, and then you can look at it. Yes, I see it as a one step back and two steps forward. One step back as observing and two steps forward as looking, but looking closer than before. So one step back and two step forward. What are these two steps forward? Looking at the ideas and checking if it's true. But as you do that, there's already an intuition that tells you this is not true. Or, as I was giving a very powerful retreat while I was in the islands of New Caledonia, the main title of the retreat, which really came up by itself, which was very practical, was the following question: is it true? Look. You can take any idea of you and look at it from a close and ask, is it true? And then look. Those two things together have the power to cut all the bullshit down. Everything can be seen in the light of this question. Is it true? And then look. It asks you to look from a close, so two steps forward, and to realize that it is not true. All of these ideas are not verified. I'm not going to go in the depth of this practice for the moment. I might, once I come back to Paris, by the way, Dove, I will be back on Wednesday, so I won't be able to take up the Tuesday, but maybe the other Tuesday. And then we can maybe do a few weeks of pure practicality. Yeah, that would be a good idea. Pure practicality of looking. Okay, I'll explain more in one of these Tuesdays. But let me tell you, that's very powerful. Because it doesn't stay in the level of understanding, in the level of conceptual understanding. It doesn't even stay at the level of just wanting truth. It stays at the level of finding truth. It brings up the fire with this simple question: is it true? And look. And that question and that looking can be actually can fire up any line, any concept, any idea, any experience, just to look at it from a close. Because when you look at any emotion or any idea from a close, you don't find yourself. You don't find yourself. You don't find anyone experiencing that experience. And all these ideas of fear, of this, of projection, you don't even find them. You go from metaphysics, all of that we learn, to actual and pure experience. Because it's only in actual and pure, solid experiencing that truth can be found. Not in knowing what's happening, not in understanding what's happening, not in desiring what's happening, but in seeing, in living, in experiencing what's happening. So we'll come back to this. That far away, I'll resume the reading, we still have a few minutes. That far away point of recognition that doesn't believe your dramas as true is that which you call me. It is your Holy Spirit, fully and perfectly aware within you. It is the voice of peace. It's very important to listen to the voice of peace with you. Okay, first, and maybe we can stop here, because it's very important. We have here a wonderful definition of what the hell is the Holy Spirit. What the heck is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the perspective, the point of recognition that is within all of us, that rises up to the surface, so to say, with the perspective of what I'm looking at now is not true. So when you go to an experience, to an idea, when you write down how you feel, and you write down, I feel fear, for example, I am sad. Okay, I write down, I am sad. When I look at it from a close, I am becoming the Holy Spirit, so to say. Why? Because sad is an energy. Okay? An energy doesn't need a word. Do I find sadness in what a pure energy is? No, I find pure energy. Already the concept flies away. Am, what is am? Am, the only thing I can be about am is the existence of that energy. There is energy. If I look close at the word am, I will definitely fall into, the only thing I can reduce that to is existence. When I look at I don't find anything. So from I am sad, all I can really say, because that's the only thing that I can verify, is sadness is happening. or the energy is being felt, or existence is. It's just a way of learning you to, how to reduce, retrace to what is true. Okay? And we can do that with any phrases, we can do that with any experience. It's very, very helpful. What is helpful here with the message is to remember that that faraway point of recognition is not far away. It's a point that doesn't believe your dramas as true, and that is what you call me. So what it means is that whenever I feel the desire to check, I'm already the Holy Spirit. Because I'm already bringing that faraway point of recognition, a faraway point of perspective, that it might not be true, to the forefront. Let me see, let me check if it's true. When I do that, with an idea, I hold hands with Regina in a relationship. That's exactly the same. I decide to declare that it might not be true. But if I decide to declare and verify that it might not be true, it means that something in me knows that it's not true. And whatever the Course, NTI, Ramana, Buji, anybody says about the spiritual awakening is stop to see the false as true. It's all about looking at what's real and what's not, what is false and what is true. We have seen, and it's time now, we have seen that two-ness is not true. And it can only be experienced through wanting to experience that it's not true. So one, desire, but we all have it, because it's here. And then two, verification, verifying. And we'll see the rest next week, if you will, next Sunday. Well, it's 2 o'clock here. No, it's 2 o'clock in Paris, because my computer is still on Paris time. It must be 9 o'clock here in Perth, Australia. And 8 o'clock in New York. It was a pleasure to be back on ACN Gather. And I will be, again, I will be subbing next week for Regina, next Sunday, with pleasure to go into the follow, into the rest of that wonderful message called The Depth of You. Lots of love. I will check that I recorded this and I will send it to you, Dove, or I will put it directly on Regina's link, on Regina's website. No, actually, I'll give it to her. I'll give it to you. I don't know. You let me know. Bye.